Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We got a mighty combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
All right, welcome back to the Mountain West Connection Show. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Same on Twitter, mwcconnection. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Chris as always. And week three is in the books.
Finally.
And we have Chris joining us for week three.
Very funny.
I'm just saying, welcome back.
Thanks. It's nice to take a hiatus from real life.
Yeah. All right, so we got games this week. You were at a game this week. You were at the second UNLV game all year, right?
Yep. And this one, not as happy as the first one. Actually, I should say it's a little bit more satisfying, though, in some ways.
Because they played an actual opponent?
Because they played an actual opponent, and you know, they fought back and didn't look as lackluster as last week. Had some life. You know, that whole thing.
But, yeah, Blake Decker played the whole game.
Yes, but that actually was not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay. We'll get to your game. Like we always do, we'll go chronological order. So, really quick, was your when you went to the stadium, you had tickets already purchased in hand, right?
No, I actually purchased them at the box office.
So, was there a line at your box office there?
There was.
So
there was a tiny line, but nevertheless a line.
So that's still better than what Hawaii had for their pre-game box office line, right? Of zero?
Yeah, something like that.
Just making sure. Just checking on that. So, all right, let's get to the games. Well, we don't need to chit-chat, unless which we do before the show for like half an hour anyways.
Hey, yeah, if we recorded half the stuff that we talked about...
Two-hour show.
It turned into two shows.
Two-hour show. Talking about...
the listeners would be entertained for much of it.
Perhaps, yeah, maybe. You'd think so. But we had about 500 people listen last time, so that's great. Improving. We would have cracked 1,000 mark for a show. Would that be nice?
Yes.
Well, we'll work on that. So we'll have some stuff going on. But let's just get to the game. Like I said, chronological order. We'll start with Boise State at UConn. First off, let's just give the score, as we probably should, so people want to know what we're talking about. 38-21, Boise State wins.
38-21.
Was it really that close?
Yes, actually, it really was that close. It was a very sloppy game from the offense. Boise State only had 292 yards of offense. Well, when was the last time you heard Boise State having 292 yards of offense?
Well, to give them credit, they did have two defensive touchdowns.
Well, and that's actually one of the things I forgot to put on my statistical. The offense had three touchdowns. The defense had two touchdowns.
And there was also a short field on one of the other interceptions. So that's part of the reason there's not many. Like, if I recall, Grant Hendrick didn't take the field until like 20 plays into the game, and they are all UConn plays.
Yeah, and he didn't – and, I mean, really, Jay Ajayi was stuffed this whole game. 18 carries, 39 yards. He was limited in receiving. He really did not – I mean, whether he was recovering or something like that.
Did it rain at all? Because everybody seemed to just be falling over that field.
You know what it is? Real grass. It's the northwest, so it's damp. Northwest. It's the northeast and probably a little bit cooler, so mid-50s. That's going to have a low dew point, which is going to lead to quite a bit of wet grass.
That's what I thought.
It doesn't have to rain.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because it's noon,
but
afternoon.
But there was tons of slipping on the ground.
Still, it's a noon game. It looked a little overcast a bit, but yeah, you're out near the water in Hartford there, or East Hartford, wherever they're at. Stores, East Hartford, wherever they would play. Rensselaer Field there. Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking, but even without him, like, the offense... Why did they pass more? They seem to have no issue passing against UConn secondary.
Because they couldn't rush. Look at this. They only had 52 yards of rushing this whole game.
I see that.
And you know, why did they pass more? Okay, because they couldn't get the run game going. Okay, so you can't get the run game going? Okay, cool. Let's start passing. Oh, they can't stop the pass? Okay.
Keep passing then.
Keep passing. Grant Hedrick, 19 for 27, 233 yards. Yeah, that's not a lot, but doesn't need a lot when you have short fields all the time. And his touchdown to interception ratio was 2-0, which puts it at 5-5. 1-1 ratio. Hooray!
You're getting back. I thought this game, it was closer than it should have been, because there was the the technical term, it was a, not an end around, it was a reverse wide receiver pass back to the quarterback. That 7-yarder, which was like, that's a risky play to do at your 7-yard line. It takes so long to develop. If you get knocked back, it could easily be a 10-yard loss.
Oh, totally.
Easily, and he just floats right to Matt Miller. That's fine, but what the heck? Why did they run that play again later on in the game? That's the second game they've ran the exact same play twice. Second time was a complete disaster. And it was that exact same halfback or running halfback or wide receiver pass, because they did versus Ole Miss twice.
Maybe it's something that they like to play. Maybe they see something in the reads where they figure they could pull it off a second time. I can't create that excuse as to why somebody does something in another.
It just seems odd for the exact same trick play more than once.
Yes, but who knows? Maybe it's not considered a trick play anymore either.
Well, no, that's a trick play. We do a reverse. The four people had to touch the ball. You got the quarterback, to the running back, to the wide receiver, back to the quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's just an odd to run it twice. But UConn, they're not very good. They're what, 1-3 this year? 1-2 already?
1-2 already. 38 points more than what BYU scored, 21 points more than what BYU gave up. So it kind of rounds itself out. The reason why, you know, UConn probably looked better than BYU is because, you know, Boise State has a very limited secondary. But see, and even though we say that, UConn only had 242 yards of passing, and it seemed like Chandler Whitmore was able to do everything against Boise State. But at the same time, he really couldn't.
Because that's my thing. I put in the what we learned after four key things that throughout the week. And I'm at the point now, Boise State secondary, they're going to give up yards. They'll give up completions. They will do the best they can to make a big play. Look at the interception that probably really should have been called as a fumble. With what Terrell...
The strip?
Yeah, the strip, yeah. The one that Dante Dion had. That wasn't... They gave an interception. That technically is a strip, which should be a fumble recovery.
But see, he caught... The reason why they called it an interception is because he caught it at the same time as the receiver and just yanked it. And that's twice that Dante Dion has done that in the last two games. He did that last week, too, mm-hmm. against Colorado State. It kind of isn't fair.
It's true. They make the plays. Like, they'll get the big play, but they're just a... They'll throw across the middle of the field. They'll give up plenty of yards. They just... And it seems odd because the front seven gave up hardly any... They gave up just over 1 yard of rushing attack. Or 1 yard per on the ground for UConn. So it's not like the front seven's not doing anything. it's just them not getting a push up front, which seems backwards, where they can stop a running attack, but they can't get after their quarterback.
Right.
You would think if they have that all that up front where nobody's running the ball against them, they can extend that to getting the quarterback.
I mean, do you realize Boise State has the most interceptions in the nation? Nope. Never mind. Well, there's one team that has more interceptions than Boise State on the season.
Who's that?
Can you make a guess?
Not Houston, because they're doing the opposite of last year.
Nope. It's a team that we've talked about before.
BYU?
No. Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. Oh, but they played Monroe. That doesn't count. Jeez, that was ridiculous.
Huh?
Well, that makes sense. They played Boise State, and there's four. They get half the interceptions in that one game.
Yeah, and then they've had four more since. Yeah. Boise State had three interceptions in the first game. They've had four more since. Both of these teams' secondaries
are pretty good.
Are pretty damn good. And by pretty damn good, I mean...
You know what's also odd? Maybe I made an error just now. I'm looking at actual numbers. I honestly don't know who to blame for the passing efficiency on defense so poor. Boise's tied for six with sacks in the nation with 12. So maybe I need to do a closer look, but maybe it's just the coverage that they can't cover well. But then they have seven interceptions and how many pass breakups. So do you have any logical explanation why their pass defense gives up so many yards?
Yeah. Think about it. They always go for the big play. When you go for the big play and you miss the big play, there's tons of yards right there.
As simple as
and
that.
And their secondary is actually good enough to prevent the touchdown. Unlike UNLV, and we'll get there, they can try and go for the big play, but they don't have the athletes to get back, and there's a 94-yard touchdown.
I guess you're right, but then looking at – you have to be right, because then they're looking at all the numbers. They have not seven picks, like we said, 12 pass breakups, that's technically 19 pass – called 19 pass defended. That's top 10 of the nation. So I guess it has to be they're over-pursuing. But then again, if they don't over-pursue – I don't know, Shadab, because they're not giving up these huge deep passes very often.
Like, and once again, the teams, and once again, we're talking about Boise State secondary, which, you know, they're giving up tons of yards and tons of points. But
here's the thing: I found it right here. Hold on, they're giving up 8.1 yards per attempt.
So but we can't forget that this is the same team that nobody can run against. UConn had 48 yards rushing. That's after they started to go to the ground more in the second half. After the first half, they had minus 13 yards in the first half.
Okay, it's starting to come together now. Here's what I'm looking at. They've been at per game 44 attempts per game against them. They've allowed the seven interceptions, which is very good, and nine touchdowns. And their yards per attempt are pretty high at 8.1. So yeah, I guess they like I said, if you can't run, you got to pass, and they're passing enough to where they're going to make a big play. But the one concern I have is, well, there's a couple, but you can't give up 70% of your passes. That's what they're doing.
And I think that's part of if you were watching the game on Saturday.
Oh, excuse me, no, I am in. Jesus, there's too many numbers on CFBstats.com. I'm looking at the wrong. Sorry, they're still giving up 60% of the passes, which is average. I just think I think you're right. They're allowing teams to run that can't run against them to throw, and they're just coming up with so many throws. They're going to get through one of these times, and they're getting through enough.
Yeah, and it goes back to this. Okay, so look at the game on Saturday. How much space did those Boise State defenders give to the receivers?
Plenty.
Plenty. We're talking almost 10 yards of space on some plays.
Yeah. They're going to give it up, but I'm wondering. I don't know. We'll just see. Like,
can we go ahead and say, yes, Grant Hendrick now has a 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, but can we say outside of Blake Jurich, he has the highest quarterback percentage in Mountain West right now?
What do you mean, completion percentage? Or?
Completion percentage, 73.2.
Not bad.
That's Kellen Moore-esque. I think Kellen Moore ended with 76.
Slow down. All right, let's go to the next game. We've talked enough about Boise State here.
We'll, you mean like we always do?
Yeah, we always do. But one thing I do, one last thing. They play, I'm tempted. What's your schedule and monetary funds looking at for October 24th?
We'll talk.
It's a Friday.
I'm going to a $100 concert on October 11th.
Oh man.
It's kind of a world tour thing, and the guy comes to the States maybe once every 5 years.
Who is it?
Huh?
Who is it?
A guy by the name of Yanis Plutarchos.
Okay. I have no idea who that is. Okay.
Don't worry, it's Greek singer.
That makes sense. All right. I just, there's a game I'd like to go see. That'd be pretty cool. So, all right.
We will see.
So will I, because it's a Friday night game as well. So, moving on. Next game, Boise State wins. They are, really quick, do you have Boise State number one in your power poll? Have you filled that out yet?
Yes.
You have Boise number one?
Yes.
Okay, so do I. Next game, let's go to Air Force, Georgia State. Air Force won?
Didn't cover the spread.
They did not. They only won by 10.
But that's because they gave up a whole bunch of garbage points at the end.
Yeah, they were up. Two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Really three if there's one late in the game. But
it was. Lost touchdown late in the game. That's what ruined it.
No, I mean, there's a one at the end of the third quarter. So they went on a scoring spree. Like, they went point for point for most of that second half. And then Air Force did a field goal. That kind of ruined it. But here's the thing. Air Force, we know the defense isn't very good. And I guess we're kind of surprised. Me and Matt figured Georgia State would run more, but they actually, Nick Arbuckle threw pretty good.
That's scary. Okay. If Nick Arbuckle, Georgia State, can throw 414 yards.
Yeah, I know. That's the concern with Air Force. But Air Force, they have Jacoby Owens is back to what we thought he would be, pretty good. A couple touchdowns, average 5 yards a carry. Air Force could be a sneaky team to get to a bowl game because Kel Pearson can throw the ball efficiently. And he threw
Wait. An Air Force quarterback can actually air it out.
Yeah. They had Tim Jefferson a couple years ago. He was pretty good. He could throw the ball and run well. Pearson's not quite the runner. He only ran 9 times. But they do have guys like Brohm Hart, Garrett Brown, Owens running, everybody else running the ball. I think they could be in a lot more shootouts than people think. Because normally if you're in a shootout with Air Force, they're not going to win because they just run the ball and eats up the clock. Pearson was 12. Yeah, I get it. It's Georgia State. They're a new Sun Belt team. They're Sun Belt, right? Not Conference USA?
Yes, they're in Sun Belt.
Okay, so making a lot of changes in that part of the country. But if he's efficient throwing the ball and they can run as well as they can, and they have Jalen Robinite, I believe, 4 for 120, but the 50-yarder. But still, if they can throw the ball against Nevada, against San Diego State, Colorado State, they can maybe beat Colorado State if they can be that efficient, because nobody can stop
them. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I'm just saying, it's being more multifaceted on offense makes them a very dangerous team.
You gave up 414 yards to a guy who so far has thrown for – okay, never mind. He threw for 413 versus Abilene Christian. He threw for 294 versus New Mexico State.
He can put up some yards.
But he can put up a lot of yards.
But I get your point, though. He's a low-level player. Shouldn't be doing – you wouldn't think Air Force can do that. But like we said in our preview with Matt, Air Force hasn't had a good secondary in about 5 years.
Yep.
They won. They good on third down. No penalties. No turnovers. They just gave up lengthy drive for points. That's all I can say. And they got – now they're 2-1. They matched their win total from last year.
So don't expect them to win anymore.
And we'll see. They host Boise State in 2 weeks. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it could possibly be interesting.
Because we know – well, maybe not. Well, yeah, Boise State's rush defense is pretty good.
But this is a triple option team.
Yeah, but look what Wyoming did to that triple option team.
Okay, fine.
Speaking of that, let's just move on to Wyoming versus Oregon. I hope everybody appreciated my fan shot of the image of the 7-0 lead Wyoming had over Oregon.
I hope everybody appreciated me saying Craig effing Bowl.
Yes. His winning streak of however many games he won in a row ended. And Wyoming actually could have made this a much closer game. They did cover, by the way, 48-14.
I picked it.
Yeah, as you said, 44 points, too many. But there were a couple of times when they did have three turnovers. They were driving on a couple of those. Not that they would have had points, but at least extending the drive, they could have maybe made a three-score
game. Colby Kirkgaard's two interceptions
came
in the first half when Wyoming was driving and stalling and driving and stalling and driving and stalling. In the second quarter, okay, Mariota scored 14:55, and then that next drive, you can see I'm gonna go ahead and kind of say it over here.
Go for it.
Okay, you had they punted, then they got the ball back. Okay, five plays, they were slowing the clock. Five plays, only 16 yards of those five plays, but like I said, slowly driving. Interception.
Yeah.
Touchdown the next play. Okay. Next drive. Seven plays, they were going 63 yards. Interception. Both of those interceptions were bad interceptions, too, because they were throwing right to the defender.
And that second interception, Wyoming was in field goal range.
Yeah.
So who knows, 20-10. Maybe they don't score. The end of the half, it's 20-10, so 27 or 27-7, whatever it ended up being.
Both of those interceptions ended in touchdowns.
Correct. And their offensive, like, I don't know how they did it, but their first drive went plenty of plays. Second drive, they stopped. Oregon tried to, they ran the ball on after running for 11 yards on 3rd and 4 to get the first down. They get 4 yards. 4 yards, and they get no gain, and they just stop them on 4th and 2, and they go 98 yards and score. Huge momentum, but yeah, they score. Merritt, they're gonna. We knew they weren't gonna win, but you gotta protect the ball a bit better. And so it would if they didn't get. Because first off, you get the one interception in your own deep in your territory, and then you throw a pick when you're close to scoring. Who knows if they would have punted? It could have been. It still would have been lost, but it would have been just maybe a 20 point win instead of 30-something. And Wyoming moved the ball. Like, looking at their drives, they moved the ball. This wasn't like them just getting stopped by Oregon. Oregon, look what they did against Michigan State in their defense last week in the second half. They pretty much stopped them, whatever Spartans were running.
Right. Oregon is going to outgain you, outrush you, whatever, on every single play. And like I said, the score is probably a little bit more lopsided than the full story, but it comes back down to those turnovers, and it comes back down to, I think,
21 points off turnovers.
Yeah. And I think those turnovers don't happen. We talk about a little bit different game of, oh my gosh, look how much Wyoming has improved. But we can kind of already see that. Sure, they haven't scored a lot of points. They're averaging 16 points a game, which is not a lot. But
look at their drive chart. Look at their drive chart. They had four drives of over 10 plays, another one of 7. That's pretty good for a team. People thought, oh, they'll maybe win 4 games.
Yeah, they're doing these long, methodical drives, which is really kind of unheard of, especially in the Dave Christensen era when they were just spreading the ball and kind of airing it out.
So does this change your perception of them going to the bowl game?
No, I think this is a game versus Oregon. You can't really say too much about that.
Sure. And then time of possession, like they were, their defense, there are some issues, but time of possession, yeah, I get short fields for fumbles and interceptions. They held the ball 38 minutes, which is huge against an offense like Oregon. Their main issue.
I think we'll know more when they play Florida Atlantic this week.
Yeah.
This same Florida Atlantic team who dominated Tulsa 50-21.
Yeah. And then really, just their third down efficiency of defense was terrible, 9 of 11. They allowed a 9 of 17 completing that many. It's about 50%. It's not great, but it's okay. Again, yeah, like I said, you can take away turnovers because they almost had as many yards as Oregon did. It's about 80-yard difference. I would like to see when they play at Florida Atlantic what they can do, but nobody's expecting to win. But if you look really look deep into it, they actually played Oregon reasonably well, despite being Absolutely. Blown out by 34 points.
And they held Oregon to under 50 points.
Yeah, I guess. What was the over-under in this game? Do you have that in front of you?
Actually, they missed the over-under.
They, okay.
Over-under was 64.
Oh, 62.
62.
Man, they know what they're talking about there when they set these up. They are. And then really quick one thing, too. Like, Sean Wick had 122 yards. Almost eight yards in the attempt. Yeah, he had a 42-yarder. But still, that's... Look, they did pretty well. They did pretty well. Next game. Where do you want to go next?
Colorado State, UT Davis. Colorado State wins. Grayson comes back with a vengeance.
Rushing game improved?
Rushing game improved?
For the most part, right? I'm trying to pull up my stats here.
Can we already say that the rushing game was good to begin with? But, I mean, against Boise State, it was kind of, you know, non-existent. So to come back, do 224 yards of rushing between three main backs.
And they, for some reason, decided to throw as much as they did. Because D. Hart did okay. He got Jason Oden Jr. Was he the redshirt freshman, I believe? Mm-hmm. No, junior, excuse me, not freshman. It's another player I'm thinking of. But they...
Garrett Grayson, who kept Colorado State in the game last week, just kind of took it over.
And it's an FCS team. They should have won. They should have won by that much. So it's not a... They're 2-1. What I watch next week when they play Boston College, actually 2 weeks, this will be interesting because BC just pretty much did what they wanted against USC for about a half of that game. And that'll be interesting for heading out to another ACC opponent that league plays here.
BC rushed how they wanted against Colorado State. Or, sorry, BC rushed against USC, basically.
In the first half, at least.
On the ground. So, if Colorado State wants to beat BC here in a couple weeks, what Ajayi did to them, BC's going to do to them. They got to fix that.
We'll see, but also BC kind of takes USC as a rival of some sort, so, which isn't really the case.
Just like how they take Notre Dame as a rival.
Well, at least that's a religious type of thing with the Catholics.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I get it.
They went.
Anybody's rival. BC.
Yeah, let's move on. BC, Boston College, good job for them. They beat USC, which is making the Pac-12 South seem a lot more interesting since UCLA also appears to be terrible.
Arizona for Rose Bowl. Oh, wait, they can't.
Next is the game you went to. Let's talk about that game.
You want to talk about that game? You don't want to talk about Utah State first?
Sure, we'll do Utah State. Get ready. Do you have your giant sigh ready? Chucky.
No!
He went down, left the game. Like, I saw the play that actually happened. We have the video from KSL on our website where he goes down, and I like the... Did you read the comment that the idiot put saying I didn't watch the play?
Yeah.
He's like, what are you talking about? He was hit. A 350-pound lineman hit him in the knee. I'm like, Well, first I'm thinking, crap, because I've known to screw up. I'm not perfect. I'm like, okay, I've maybe misread some things, but I'm looking through, read stuff online. I'm like, no contact. Okay, that's what I thought I read. So I look at it again. I'm like, no, he wasn't touched until after the play, and there was, of course, no helmet that hit him either. A guy kind of rolled on him after the fact.
Well, and that's why I was scared as hell when I kind of finally saw the video after, because that, for me...
It's the worst.
That's a tweak. And that's a tweak on your weak knee, and that is possibly a re-tear.
We don't... Let's be clear. As of right now, it's Saturday evening.
As of right now, it's Sunday evening. We have no news.
Sunday evening. I'll check really quick. It's about 11 p.m. Eastern time. I know the few people to check or to... I should have texted a few guys I knew earlier who'd probably have this, but they haven't said it online, which they would. Coach Matt Wells said they would not know anything until today, which is Sunday, but now it seems like not till Saturday. And there's no news about going on. But also, I saw a play earlier. There's a face mask against Chucky, and I thought that was like, oh, geez, that looked like it would hurt his knee much more than obviously tweaking and... Everybody stepped on their foot word where you just kind of, oh, crap, something happens, you kind of fall or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't do anything, but I tripped on something, and you just fall. You a little crack in the sidewalk or you don't see that half step there going down. It's one of those things. But there is a face mask against him that looked pretty bad earlier. I'm like, oh, geez. But he's running the ball. He took a hit to the knee earlier. Maybe that guy was taking a video earlier, and he didn't watch the video I did. Because I remember it now. There was a time Chucky took off, and a guy did tackle him and get him underneath the helmet. But that was not the play that was. He left. He got up slowly. He comes out halftime. He's not dressed. He was on crutches. He's limping. I don't know. It's terrible. But again, we saw what. There shouldn't be. There should be concern, but there really shouldn't be that much concern because we all saw what Garrett Grayson did last year as a true freshman.
Daryl Garrettson.
Or excuse me. Who did I say?
Garrett Grayson.
Garrett. No, sorry. Daryl Garrett. Yeah. Sorry. Daryl Garrettson. Daryl.
Try again, there, buddy.
Not Garrett Garrettson. Daryl Garrett. I'm really here, folks. Daryl Garrettson, he did fine last year. He beat Northern Illinois, who's en route to a BCS game before they didn't make it. They beat an 11-1 team. They did fine. Their defense without Kyler Fackrell looks fine. They had a pick six. And the only concern I have about Chucky Keaton, I don't know what the heck that interception was when he's falling backwards, just chucks it up for a pick six. That's not what he does. After that, Chucky calmed down. He looked good, and part of it, what I'm hoping is, because he looked reasonably well. He still went 20 of 27 in the first half.
Yeah.
So he's still accurate. He completed whoever was JoJo Natts or Ronald Butler or Hunter Sharp, whoever he's throwing the ball to, and he made some good. He was looking good early on. It was just that tweak, and some people, at least I'm hope one of those as well, is that, well, they were winning so big at the half, they're up 29-7, they're taking him out for precautionary reasons. But I don't think that was the actual case. He was out because he couldn't play. He's limping. If you see the videos and images you see, he's not standing as well as he could.
Right.
But having said that, Utah State they smoked Wake Forest. Wake Forest is terrible. Wake came back because, well, there was a bad interception by Daryl Garrett, which was almost equally as bad to Tricky Keaton. And they ended up a few third quarter scores. But once that fourth quarter came around, the defense stood up and they just stopped them and altogether. Because in Utah State's defense, they had two defensive touchdowns. Zach Vigil, and then there was a fumble over Devin Sanders, 47 yards. Their defense, even losing Fackrell, who's a legit going to be a first or second round draft pick, if he comes out this year or if he waits to play one more year because, I don't know, situation, unless he wants a medical redshirt or whatever he's going to do. Even without a potential first-round pick, this defense is still very, very good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of those things that, I mean, I think the biggest question is, and once again, we still don't know what kind of injury Keaton sustained. I guess my biggest question would be going forward is what kind of chances does this hit for Utah State winning the division and winning the conference?
I say zero. Because we saw what Garrettson did last year.
Outside of the Boise State game?
Well, the game where he didn't start, they had the seniors, I forget his name, the other quarterback. They said the upperclassmen. Because Garrettson was a true freshman last year. True freshman. And that game versus, Boise State, they switched around and he didn't look very good. And that's any case when he doesn't start and everything. And when he has to come in part way and he's not ready, doesn't get a full week to prepare, they split reps. That's a big issue. Yeah, it was that Boise State game where he's looking right now. He still did okay. 9 of 14, had a couple picks. But once he started going, look at this. Yeah, New Mexico, they didn't need him to throw the ball. He threw for 370 versus Hawaii, 298 versus UNLV. Colorado State was a terrible game because for a call, it was just that super windy, nobody could throw. He was more of efficient than at good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even in the bowl game, it was a defensive effort because he had two picks, 17-29, 121. I think he's elusive like Chucky Keaton. He just can't make the plays like Chucky Keaton. But I still think...
Yet.
But here's the thing, too. He had all spring to take number one reps. Pretty much most of fall camp as well, for the most part. He's taken a lot of reps. He's ready to play. He can play. He, dare I say, he'd be one of the top quarterbacks on any other team. He would start for probably any team but Nevada, Boise, and Colorado State. And probably San Diego State. That's most of the team, but he's an upper half starting Mountain West quarterback as a backup.
Right.
And that, New Mexico, stick him there. Well, system and all, but almost any school, he would be right there with any, even anybody in the school, even Quinn Kaler, at Boise State. He'd be with anybody.
Fair enough.
So they do play Arkansas State next week on the road. They play BYU 13 days from now. They play Friday night, October 3rd. Do you think they'll have – can't speculate, but how do you feel like 2 weeks down the road when they play BYU at BYU if they're hosting – or excuse me, if they have to play Darryl Garrettson?
Same as I would feel with Chucky Keaton. It's not the offense I've worried about because I've seen BYU's defense – and there's some issues there. Houston exposed it last week.
They haven't also, not to get off on a BYU thing, they play a lot of teams, so it's okay to talk about them every now and then as we're going through. But they haven't played a team that has a good defense or offense. Virginia looks pretty good, so we'll see when they play them. But and not saying that anything against BYU's defense doesn't be good, but they haven't played a really good team on either side of the ball. Like UConn, they're okay on offense. They're not great. They're okay. Like they're just okay. In Houston, like I said, second half they came back. There's a Hail Mary, some mistakes they made. But I want to see, because my main thing in Utah State, they can't run the ball. If they need Joe Hill. Joe Hill can't have minus 4 yards or whatever he had.
Right.
And so I would prefer Chucky to play just because the main difference between the two guys, which we may not know about Garrettson because they had a big lead and he didn't really need to do too much. And coming in at the half, it's like, okay, you're playing. He was efficient. It was okay. But Keaton has the ability to make a big play. And that's where Garrettson does not have.
Right.
And that's the only concern. But again, I think they have almost the same chance with or without Keaton, even though we think Keaton's better. But the way they play and the offense works, they'll be fine, I think. Especially with having – it's like with Grant Hendrick. He played half the season last year to be ready for this year with the injury. All right, let's go to your game now. So do you still go by the attendance was about 18,000 last night?
I'm going to go more to 20,000 because it was definitely louder yesterday than it was the game before.
Should have been.
This is counting as my recap, as the UNLV recap, because I couldn't write one because driving home, everybody's like, oh, well, let's go get dinner. So it's like by the time you go get dinner and everything like that and drive back from the stadium, it's like 2 hours later and all that stuff. So you want to take a look at the scoreboard? That game was as weird as the scoreboard indicates.
Question for you. Did Shaquille Murray Lawrence start this game?
Yes, okay. He did.
I'm just making it clear because I could find literally nothing until middle of week two that he must have done something to piss off Bobby Houck.
He did. He fumbled on the first game.
And that cost him 2 games, essentially?
I think so, yeah.
He wasn't even listed on the depth chart this week. And nobody expected him to play.
That's what I said. And he came out and he started slow. But as the passing opened up, he basically added a lot.
He's good, that's why.
He's good, that's why. You can't just say that, though.
Well, he's elusive. He eluded last year. He had 10 yards of touch last year.
Yeah, well, in very limited action.
Yeah, of course.
He was elusive today, and he forced his way into the end zone. And it was great. Decker, something happened. Okay, so this team was down 21-5.
I was just going to ask you, was there any chance of him being pulled? Because I saw the score at halftime. I wasn't watching the game. I was doing other things. I came home late to watch the Utah State game, and these were at the same time. That's kind of scoreboard watching. I'm like, they got to put in Nick Sherry. They have to. Based off last year, your infograph in week two, numbers were almost identical. They have to put him in. But then, like you said, like you're about to proceed, something happened in that third and fourth quarter.
Well, and see, in the first two quarters, Decker wasn't bad either.
And what was the reason for them being down 2 touchdowns?
The reason for them being down 2 touchdowns? They employed a bend-don't-break defense. And NIU, you look at their rushing stats, they rushed for 331 yards. And most of those rushes were jet sweeps.
The jet sweep.
Jet sweep. I kid you not. Keith Harris Jr. is not a running back. Keith Harris Jr. is a wide receiver. Sal's wide receiver have 17 carries.
You sure he's a wide receiver? He's listed as a running back.
Is he listed as a running back? Because then he was always in motion.
Okay. I just
okay.
That's fine. I get
maybe Cameron Stingley. I don't. Who the hell is Cameron Stingley?
That guy.
Sorry, both of those guys running backs. Neither one of those guys. I'm telling you, I swear I was watching this game yesterday. Most of those rushes where they picked up just tons of yards was on the jet sweep.
Then what changed in the second half then to get back? Just Decker exploded?
Well, what changed in the second half is, first of all, the defense shut down the rushing game a lot more.
Even after that first drive, so they're down. They're down 28-5 right away.
They were down 21-5 before halftime,
and then 28-5 in that first drive. They were getting beat,
you know. And a lot of that, and a lot of that, this game should have been 14-8. There was a missed field goal, and then right after that missed field goal, NIU just marched down the field, scored the touchdown, and it was 21-5 at half.
So what? Okay, let's fast forward then. UNLV crawls back to make it 34-34 on a Shaquille Murray Lawrence run. How do they lose that momentum and give up two touchdowns in the final 9 minutes?
Well, okay. So first of all, by that point in time, defense was tired. A lot of UNLV.
How hot? What was the temperature like? Was it above 90 degrees?
The temperature was 100 degrees at kickoff.
What about the fourth quarter? Wasn't the sun all about to set by that time? Because the game was 4 p.m. local kick, so it was about...
Right, so it had cooled down to about 90 degrees.
Okay, just 90.
Just 90, okay? But there was a lot more... It was more of a breeze. The NIU players, well-conditioned, and I think part of that is because recruiting. You have NIU versus UNLV, and we've talked about UNLV's recruiting issues. So they were just able to wear down. Right after they score this, you know, right after they score the touchdown, they try the directional kick. And actually, they don't even try the directional kick. He tries to sky the kick. Ends up going out of bounds.
Yeah, I see that. They first and 10 to 35.
First 10 to 35. So then four plays, they just march down the field. Bop, bam, bam, bam.
54-yard touchdown
pass. Yeah. And that was that game, or that touchdown was on... Oh, wait, 54-yard touchdown? How about a missed tackle?
Just like we saw
in the Arizona game. I need to find the statistic, and maybe it's on CFB stats, on yards after hit for UNLV. Because I would say probably – I would say this UNLV team has probably given up most of their yards after the first hit and most of their touchdowns after the first hit.
I wonder if that could be found.
I'm not sure if that could be found or not.
So what but was see, that? So continue.
So going back
to the next drive, because that's where the game pretty much ended.
Right. So they go back to the next drive, kickoff, right? UNLV marches all the way down the field. 5-yard line, I think. Okay. Decker throws a fade pass. Now, Decker's been pretty solid all game. 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He throws a fade pass to Devontae Davis, who, oh, by the way, Devontae Davis, statistically, 6 receptions, 150 yards. NIU could not stop Devontae Davis.
So like we said, he's the best receiver in the Mountain West.
Exactly. Could not stop him except for the one. And the one was you throw a fade pass to Devontae Davis in double coverage. And was the pass questionable? Yes, but it bounces off Davis's fingers too.
Do you think he could have came down with it?
I think if he had just stretched out an inch more, which I'm not sure if he could have. This play happened right in front of me. I'm not sure he could have stretched out more, but it bounced off his fingers. And if he knew he couldn't catch the ball, he should have just tried to slap it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ball was tipped, and the second defender who was covering him. So the first defender who was covering him was right in front of him, blocking his view, and he still almost had that ball. Second defender right behind him leaps and grabs the ball. And this is a great play by the defender. Leaps, grabs the ball, feet in, and that's the interception. That's the lone interception in the end zone.
Was he the only... I may have found that stat on Football Outsiders here, but was that the only option? Because there are some of the fade routes where they'll put one guy wide and everybody else the other side of the field. Was that the only option to throw the ball?
So they had four wide receivers. Davis was alone. And so I think Decker, no matter what, wanted to go to Davis. He'd been the most reliable receiver all afternoon. Micah Matele, great third option. Four receptions, 60 yards. Marcus Sullivan did not play because Marcus Sullivan is injured.
That's an issue.
Yes. You had Kendall Keys, who was great in minimal action, two receptions, 57 yards. Devontae Boyd, three receptions, 47 yards. But you're still missing Marcus Sullivan. So who's the one person that you are going to go to, if you think about it?
Davis.
You're going to go to Davis.
Every time.
Every single time. If you have three wide receivers stacked, and which they did, it was a four receiver setback, three on one side, Davis on the other. That ball, 75% of the time, is going to go to Davis. I'm not even sure if he looked the other way. Well, so that's what I said. Was it a questionable decision, or was I know this guy's going to come down with it?
But here's the thing. There's 2 points. If you're into the fade, that's a pretty quick play. Wouldn't it have Decker seen some sort of help coming toward Davis before the snap? You know what I mean? Like, a fade's usually a quick play.
Yeah, and it was a quick play.
So, I doubt the defensive back just rushed the safety who brought the extra help was running over as fast as he could to break up that play when he saw it.
No. They had him double covered.
That's what I mean. He had to know at that time before the snap was coming that there's extra help.
And that's why I'm thinking, was the pass questionable in the sense that if you see double coverage, or maybe he didn't see double coverage, he's going to be double covered. Or was it just, missed out on that play completely?
I didn't see it, so I don't want to speculate you're there, but I'm just thinking the way it turned out like you're describing, he should have thrown to somebody else.
My thinking is he probably should have thrown to somebody else.
Because it's like you said, they had plenty of guys, he spread the ball around to a lot of different people.
But also, let me look that up real quick. I can't remember if that was fourth down or not. I want to say it was for second.
No, that was first down.
Well, it was first down. Okay.
Because they had the first and 10. I had to chart up.
Yeah, if it's first and 10, there are plenty of other people.
First and goal at the 7.
So, sorry, 7 yards out of it. Regardless.
But I'm just saying, it's like, and then.
If it's first and goal, obviously your first option wants to be Davis, but. Man, have some. That really was my biggest issue.
The game wouldn't have ended there if not for the defense just gives up and they get a 25-yard pass on Northern Illinois' first play and next drive.
Right, but all credit to Marlon Moore for pulling off that interception because that was really close. I thought he had gone out of bounds.
Yeah, well.
Outside of that, okay. On the ensuing drive, touchback, starting 20 yards, 80 yards out, okay. Missed tackles led to 25 yards.
That ended the game right there. 25-yard play ended the game.
Pretty much. But, NIU got a second touchdown out of it. Yeah. And from there, UNLV couldn't finish out. Shaq Mu ran. I don't know why they gave Shaq Mu to run the ball when you were out of timeouts. And then Decker passed three times and was incomplete. So
game over.
But that's what I'm saying. They lost by 14, but the game was much closer, especially that second half surge.
But their defense also, man, 600 yards? Really? Come on. And here's one last thing I want to notice as well. Northern Illinois, in my preview, implemented multiple quarterbacks.
There was only one quarterback.
And even on Twitter, they said, here's our starting lineup, omitted the quarterback position pregame.
Yeah, no clue who the quarterback was going to be.
Hey, Drew Hare, 2-8, played well. Three touchdowns, almost 300 yards. So, do you think, okay, let's just look ahead really quick. Does UNLV have any chance versus Houston next week?
Oh, yeah.
On the road, did they do?
If that if that team who played in the second half comes out against Houston, they've got a chance.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. So let's go to what's the next game here? Are we to the late games now?
Yep, late games. So Nebraska, Fresno State. Let's move on.
Oh, jeez.
Can we please move on?
At least Fresno State had to go to one quarterback.
Yeah.
Due to injury.
But man, Fresno State defense, what the hell?
They 70-yard touchdown pass, 57-yard run, 23-yard pass. They've had
86-yard punt return.
Oh, sorry, I missed that. 86. Oh yeah, 80, there it is.
62-yard run.
Amir Abdullah did what he did, does what he does. 19 for 110 on the ground. Tommy Armstrong, not that great, really. He had 3 touchdowns, but
12 for 21. Those aren't good stats.
260.
260. That's ridiculous.
For the amount of completions, yeah, that's big play completions. That's 12.4 yards per attempt. That's pretty amazing, but it wasn't anything special. You know what I mean? It wasn't anything special.
That's over 20 yards per completion.
Yeah. It was just big play after big play after big play. They actually averaged with both quarterbacks 20 yards per attempt, per completion.
And Brian Burrell throwing nearly 60 times in a game and only coming up with 241 yards. Yeah. Look, I get it. We're not Derek Carr, but man.
He also ran for 15. There's no running game to help him out. Josh Quezada did nothing. Marquise Waller did nothing. But they're down. Dude, they're down 27-2. 27-5 at the half. There was no chance. They had too many third downs. They're 6-23 on third down. Look at the drive chart. They had 7 drives with 3 plays.
You know what the worst part about this is?
And added actually 11 drives of 4 plays or less. Or 5 plays.
You want to know what the worst part about this is?
What is worse than getting beat this bad?
0 turnovers by Fresno State.
That's a positive, isn't it?
Yeah, but you would think, oh, that many touchdowns that have scored, there's some turnovers involved or whatever. Nothing.
I got you. Well, let's see, Nebraska. So their drives weren't very long for touchdowns. Look at their first drive, 3 plays. Their next drive, they got the ball 1 play. 5. They missed a field goal. This could have been worse. They could have been up 17-2 from the get-go.
They still punted 5 times. Nebraska still punted 5 times.
Last I checked, Fresno State didn't lose 5 players on the defensive side of the NFL.
Last I checked, they still had Deron Smith.
Yeah, Deron Smith. They have the one guy's name I can never pronounce on the defensive line. But Nebraska, yeah, they...
So what is it?
They're not a good team.
Okay, outside of that.
They have no... Honestly, they don't have Derek Carr. Their offense should take a step back, but...
Offense should not be this anemic.
Well, actually, I'll repeat this a million times. They only returned 30% of the offense. They lost Marcel Jensen's tight end, NFL. Derek Carr starting for the Raiders. Devontae Adams in the Packers. Isaiah Burse is in the NFL. Center, Austin Wentworth is in the NFL. 5 guys in the NFL. I believe Jensen's still with the team, but 5 guys who got drafted on the offense. You still have Josh Harper. You would think they'd have a quarterback, but the reason Burrell played, they still don't know. Here's my main thing. They don't know who the quarterback is. Even though they did play Burrell the whole game because they had to. Brandon Connaught is injured. They cannot... You're going to be at week 4 and you don't know who your starting quarterback is? That's a coaching problem, man.
Hey, guys, beware of Southern Utah this week.
Who are they going to play? Are they going to play both just to see what they have?
Why not?
But why? They need to pick, and at this point, if they don't go with Burrell, what's the point of playing? There's no point in playing Connick because are they going to beat New Mexico?
Are they going to beat Southern Utah?
I'll give them that. I'm not there. I'm not.
Hey, no. Hey, Nevada beat Southern Utah by like 10 points. By eight. It was closer than that.
But Southern Utah is also 0-3 as well. They haven't won a game yet.
I'm just saying.
I know. I get your point. They're giving them a lot of points.
I'm not sure if they can beat New Mexico.
They're not going to beat San Diego State. You're going to be at the UNLV game, I'm assuming. That might be a struggle. I just think there's... Here's two things I don't get. Two things I don't get. How did Pat Hill screw up so bad with Derek Carr, and how is Tim Drudas screwing up so bad without him? Right? I get it, Carr's a sophomore when Pat Hill is let go, but Drudas, it's got Drudas, Dave Schramm's doing terrible things on offense. They don't know who their offense is, but the defense is just as bad. The defense wasn't great by any means last year. Look at the San Jose State game. I think it's got to be just coaching. It has to be. Because Martez Waller did fine last year. Josh Cazada did fine. They're doing nothing this year. Josh Harper's doing okay. But they're just terrible at doing anything on defense or offense. What do you think the problem is? Just coaching? Because they seem to have enough players, I would think.
I don't know.
It's hard to
honestly. Pinpoint. I haven't watched them enough to.
I stopped watching to know what's going on because they're down so bad and they're giving up. Is it just a big plays? Because every play they seem to give up is 20 yards. That's a defensive issue.
That's a huge issue. That's a Schramm.
Well, not defense. He's not. It's a Drudas thing. Right. Tim Drudas was a defensive coordinator at Air Force, and the funny thing is, he was there the last time they actually had a good defense and a good secondary. It was at Texas A&M when they were doing at the end right before the SEC years. He's a defensive coach, and this has got to look poor on him. Mm-hmm. And this also, did you know this is their first loss in 2 years at home? In Tim Drudas' tenure, it's his first loss in a year, just over a year.
I don't know.
They're not a good team. That's all. I don't get where they don't have any sort of talent on this team, which you think they do. What team goes from number one in their conference to the bottom in 1 year? From any conference?
The NFL.
This is not the NFL, though. I knew this would come up because I was talking to the Boise State radio, whoever ESPN Boise is, those guys. Like, so what's Drudas going to say? I'm like, well, he said exactly, and I told Matt as well, here's exactly what he's going to say. And here's his quote. I reminded their team, as badly as we feel right now, our major goals are ahead of us, and that's to win the Mountains Conference and make Old Ag Stadium, blah, blah, protect, and that's ahead of us. Yeah. They technically still in the conference. They're not going to win the conference, but he has to say that. And the schedule, is the schedule too tough? Because there are some people who say maybe they're playing, they schedule up too much.
Yeah.
Because Nebraska, they barely beat.
Utah was a very winnable game, though.
Based on what everybody says, Utah might win 5 games this year.
And Utah should have been a very winnable game.
Yeah, but then there's people like, well, here in Utah, people say, well, the Fresno game will be a key indicator because everybody knew Fresno is not this world beater, but expect them to win probably 8 or 9 games still and to give Utah, who needs to make a bowl game to see where they're at, this will be a good game to know if Utah can get to a bowl game or how close they'll be, and they blow out a team. But Utah's not anything special. They could turn into that when they play Michigan next week and then start Pac-12 play. But still, the jury's out, like, saying how people are still saying, well, now Utah might win 7 games. That's still I don't know. It's part schedule, but it's part, they're not a good team and it's bad coaching.
Right.
So Let's move on to the other disappointing game of the night. Can Nevada?
You can't tell me that UNR was a disappointing game.
Yeah, I can. You know how I can tell you that?
Why?
You have two field goals that are 22 and 23 yards out, and you have to kick field goals of that length.
Okay, fine.
You're inside. You're at the 5 yard line, 4 and 5 yard line. You have to result to field goals, and you lose by 7.
Yeah.
The defense wasn't great, and Anu Solomon for Arizona only dropped incomplete with 22 of 26. The rushing defense for Nevada, which we know has not been good, was not good. They gave up 6 yards to carry, but
Nevada contained for the most part. This game could have been a lot more lopsided.
Probably. If you're only dropping 4 passes. There's an interception that helped out Nevada, but it goes back to the very beginning of the game. They drive down the field. They're getting 4 to 7 yards a play, man, minimum. On that first drive, they had here's the problem. They had first and goal at the 3, second and goal at the 2. They attempt to throw a third and goal at the 5, and they kick a field goal. It's like, that first one, that's fine. You want points. You're starting the game. That's a good boost because you're going up early.
Actually, you want to see my biggest problem?
What's your biggest problem?
When was the last time you saw Nevada only rushing for barely over 100 yards?
That too. I was going to get to that momentarily. I saw that Don Jackson did not perform very well after we thought he was.
Don Jackson, Cody Fajardo couldn't get the running game going on his own.
That too. But going really quick, going like the first quarter. There's only two and a half possessions that first quarter. These teams were just. Nevada was eating clock that first drive. It was a 15 play drive? They only get a field goal out of it. Arizona does the same thing, but the second drive, you think you're at the. You get to the third yard, 4th and 3. I think they should have gone for it, man. They get a 5 yard run for Fajardo. I get the passing wasn't very good. They only completed 2 passes on that drive. Excuse me, 3. Yeah, they went 3 of 4 on the drive, or 3 of 5. Why not run a bootleg and you're giving a run pass option for Fajardo at 4th and 3 at the 4? I'm just saying, you're at home. Or no, you're not. I'm sorry. It's on Pac-12 Network super late. But why not give that attempt to do that? And then Nevada blew it as well. Next possession, Arizona, they kicked here's where it did seem to be okay. They kicked the field goal. I would have probably gone for it because that's a 21-yarder. They pick off Anu Solomon, but then they blow it and have to punt. I don't know. That's just those first few possessions, they did everything right, but got to punch it in. You're that close, and the offense you run, on the second time you're that close, you have the option to run or pass in the pistol to get points. That are a touchdown, I should say, to get 3 yards. You're telling me your pistol offense can't get you 3 yards?
Apparently. Yeah, I don't know. Especially, once again, since the pistol is based heavily on running.
Outside of that, that game was back and forth the whole game. Nevada didn't turn the ball over. They, like I said, their main thing, running the ball better, was the only thing they could have done better, I think, to win this game. I guess maybe some rush defense, but. Does this downgrade Nevada for you if you're losing like this?
No. No, it keeps them up. It definitely raises some concern on the Nevada side, especially offensively Nevada. That rushing, it's not looking as strong as maybe it has been in past years.
Well, it hasn't been a while, but I thought Don Jackson would have done that. And then their last drive of the game, they had a chance to get it. That last drive, man, they drove all the way down. They have a huge 24-yard pass, but then Fajardo goes 0 for 4. Or, sorry, he had 1 for 4, a 5-yard pass.
And this is a guy who had 321 passing yards. So did Arizona just shut them down completely? Or?
Broke up. There was a pass breakup on 3rd and 5.
That's one. So where are the other two?
Incompletions.
drop passes and
completions. I don't remember. I just saved this late to see that part.
No, but I mean, it's a legitimate argument. Are these overthrows or are these? I mean, I don't know.
They tried to get to the best receiver and they couldn't get to him. They couldn't get to Richie Turner when they needed it, and they probably covered up on him and did that. There's two areas. Like I said, rushing offense for Nevada and then rush defense. You can't give up 6 yards a carry. What happens if they play JHIE or play Air Force? If they play Air Force.
I think they do play Air Force.
They're in the same division, yeah.
Let's see. Let's look at the rest of their schedule real quick before we move on to the last game of Hawaii, which who won, by the way?
Hawaii snuck out the win in front of 10 people.
Let's see. They play Boise State, heavy run offense. Colorado State, heavy run offense. They play BYU.
Say at least a running offense.
Taysom Hill, run offense.
Air Force.
Air Force. They do play Air Force at Air Force.
San Diego State can run the ball if they need to.
Yep. Hawaii. Forget Joey Iosefa if he's still out, but you have Stephen Lakalaka.
He might be back by then.
And Diosome St. James.
Who? Did they beat San Jose State in 2 weeks?
We'll find out.
Clearly, we'll find out.
I told you on Twitter, the West Division is becoming like Highlander. There can only be one.
So what do you think with our guy Keegan that he says he feels that they're still the leader of the pack to win the West?
Yeah, but I mean, all you're missing from the Highlander what's going to end up happening is the battle for the Fremont Cannon is going to be ending up being the Gathering, where Christopher Lambert fights the Keegan.
Can Arizona lay claim to the Fremont Cannon now?
Probably, right? They're just going to fly up, take it out of the UNLV locker room, and they'll fly back down.
They'll paint it red.
None of you guys get it. There can only be one.
I don't know. Are they the number two team? Is it really them? Not that to bash on them, but it's them and San Diego State, right?
It's them and San Diego State right now. And you could have arguments for Hawaii. You could have I'm just talking about the West Division. You could have arguments for Hawaii. You could have arguments for San Jose State. And you could even, if UNLV wakes up and plays like they did in that second half, you can even have arguments for UNLV winning the West.
What? No. All right, so the Hawaii game, Hawaii won. Did you see what Chris Turner tweeted out, the attendance 2 hours before kickoff?
Yep.
There's about four people there.
See, here's the thing. I watched that game last night. It sounded like a lot more than however. Let me see if I can get attendance numbers for that real quick.
I looked. I couldn't find it. Because usually box scores have the attendance with it, but this one didn't match. They almost blew this game. They almost allowed Northern Iowa to come back to win this game in the fourth quarter.
But see, you could say, are you so surprised? But at the same time, though, Northern Iowa almost knocked off Iowa last week.
Yeah. The only issue with this game that I can really tell without watching, Hawaii, how do you go 4 of 21 on third downs? A, you missed that many chances, but then also how do you have 21 attempts on third down against an FCS team? And then Aikiki Woosley Aikaka, is that it?
Yes.
Woosley? That guy?
Woolsey? Yes.
The Hawaii quarterback under center who started the game?
Yes.
How do you go less than 50% of your passing?
Like how he's thrown less than 50% of the passes all year.
But you're playing Northern Iowa.
But there were a few drop passes on that, too.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, then don't drop those passes, receivers. Help them out.
Hey, Kemp. Okay, and here's the other thing. Woolsey overthrew a lot of receivers last night.
He's done that. He's known.
Yeah, he has a tendency to do that, but that means he's going deep.
Yeah.
And a lot of those teams, just, you know, throwing deep balls like that. Oh, I have attendance numbers.
Oh, let me guess. Hold on.
Okay.
18,910.
A lot higher. Surprising.
24,000?
24,999.
Interesting.
That's paid attendance.
Oh, no, that doesn't count. Paid attendance.
Well, okay, I don't know. When it says attendance, hold on. It's when it says attendance, colon, and then numbers, is that paid attendance, or is that how many people actually showed up?
I doubt they have the clicker for each person, so I'm going with paid attendance, and that's... It's hard to tell, paid attendance, but... 20 minutes more.
Because it was fairly... You know what? It was fairly loud last night, but think about how many people Aloha Stadium holds.
What does it hold? 40?
Yeah, I want to say it holds 50. Yeah, it holds 50,000. So if you're only getting 25,000, that's a...
All right, so the show's over here. Hawaii won. They, I guess Laka Laka proved to be okay. Just needs a better than 3.9 yard to carry, but he's... It's good enough. Hawaii's 1-2. This is the earliest they've had a win in Norm Chow's era in a long time. Maybe they should schedule FCS teams week one or something.
No, because they almost beat Washington and they almost beat Oregon State. So
they weren't going to beat Oregon State.
And by the way, Northern Iowa ranked in the top 10 in the FCS as of today.
Okay, good for them.
So
did they move up or move down?
With an 0-2 record, because
0-2, the Iowa game.
When those two losses come to FBS teams, yeah,
and by 7 total points. Okay.
I mean, Eastern Washington still ranks second with 2-1 because their only loss came to Washington.
All right, so what do we – anything else we need to add to the show? Anything you want to look ahead
to? Yes, here's a list of 10 teams that you should never, ever schedule for the FCS.
North Dakota State?
That's number one.
Number two is North Dakota State.
Number two is Eastern Washington. Number three, Southeastern Louisiana.
You have 10 of these teams? Okay.
Number four, Montana, which we've seen. Almost beat Wyoming. Montana. Number five, Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
Nobody scheduled them this year.
Good.
Actually, no, I think somebody did. I think Coastal Carolina won. Number six, McNeese State.
Yeah.
Number seven, New Hampshire. Number eight, Villanova, who almost beat Syracuse. Number nine, Jacksonville State. Number 10, Northern Iowa.
All right, question for you. We have bowl projections coming out. Do you still buy East Carolina as the best team to make a New Year's Day bowl?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think any chance a Mountain West team can be in that discussion?
Absolutely. Remember, highest ranked team.
Conference champion. And right now there's zero teams ranked.
But that's after ECU. I mean, remember that ECU lost to South Carolina before knocking off Virginia Tech. ECU has a tendency to ruin things. Cincinnati, we'll see what Cincinnati does when they play Ohio State next week.
Yeah. So who did you put in your poll? Because we have the underdog poll tomorrow. Who is your top five?
My top five? I think I sent it to you. You want me to tell on
a lot of people. Oh.
Well, I have to go find it.
I have it right here. Sorry.
Okay. My top five.
BYU.
God, why do I vote BYU number one? Okay. Number two, East Carolina. Number three, Boise State. Number four, Nevada. Because number five is Marshall, and I'm pretty sure I refuse to put Marshall above Nevada at this point.
That's a good point. And then really quick for mine, because we're going to wrap up here, I go with BYU.
Okay.
Cincinnati.
Okay.
I still think they could be good, even though they played one game somehow.
Well, and that's why Cincinnati's not higher for me.
That makes sense.
They're only 1-0.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, that 1-0 was a big one.
Then they got East Carolina, and I'm thinking I probably should put East Carolina number two, but then you got Boise State and Marshall. And for those who are wondering, I have Nevada all the way at number 14.
Yeah, see, Nevada for me is probably way too high. Put Nevada, versus Marshall, NIU, Cincinnati, SDSU, which they will be playing, Navy, Colorado State, La Tech, Utah, Temple, and any of those other teams. And do you think Nevada could beat all those teams? I honestly think they can.
I think there's a good chance. Yeah.
And that's where I'm starting to say. Yes, BYU is my number one right now, but Boise State, if Boise State beats them, remember, Boise State plays at home in that game. That swaps those two. ECU, you know, they have a loss, but ECU still has to play. Let me see. Go through here.
They don't play Marshall, I don't think.
No. They play North Carolina next week. So if North Carolina beats them, then, well, okay. Play North Carolina. Then they are going to blow out SMU because SMU is horrible. They're going to blow out South Florida. They play Connecticut, play Temple, play Cincinnati. So ECU Cincinnati is going to be the big game on November 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, they can run through this schedule undefeated. They lost to South Carolina by 10, even though they were leading most of that game.
Yeah.
Now, you tell me, if we see an 11-1 East Carolina, you think that they're going to – you think any team from the Mountain West is going to outrank them?
Oh, they'd have to be 12-1 because they're a conference title game.
12-1, fine.
Probably.
Okay, this is ECU schedule. Remember, okay, North Carolina, which, okay, they should beat, just like San Diego State should have beaten them. SMU, bad. South Florida, bad. Connecticut, bad. Temple, yeah. Cincinnati, okay, we'll find out.
They're good.
Tulane, Tulsa, who looked horrible last week. They lost to Florida Atlantic by 29 points. And then University of Central Florida. You're telling me that ECU cannot run through this schedule undefeated, possibly.
No, they very good chance. But, I mean, you asked if they'd be higher than a Mountain West team, and I said yes.
Yes.
Because they'll go.
Right. I thought I was saying something.
Oh.
Anyway, yes.
But the committee.
Yes, I agree with you.
The committee picks. So the best win that, just to say, for example, it's either Boise or San Diego State with one loss. The best win San Diego State would probably have would be versus Boise State.
Right.
Best win Boise State would have would be San Diego State.
Or BYU.
Well, okay, yeah, BYU perhaps.
BYU's ranked right now.
Sure, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, assuming BYU's good. So, actually, I would give, if it's Boise State, it would be really close because assuming BYU goes, say BYU goes, just the best out of best scenario, BYU goes 11-1. The only loss is to Boise State.
And BYU does not have a contract. They have to make the top four, period.
Yeah, they have no automatic. While they're not in a conference, they're not part of the big power teams, they don't have any sort of automatic bid. So they have to be at large only for any
Boise. And what helps Boise State even more is the way that, I mean, yes, Ole Miss has played Vanderbilt and Lafayette after Boise State, but it helps that Ole Miss is just shellacking.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely shellacking those teams.
So they're going to need that team to win. Boise State's going to need UConn to maybe turn around. Probably difficult to say. It's because they're going to go
through. This Ole Miss team is ranked number 10 in the nation right now.
Yeah, and Boise, up until that third quarter, they collapsed and just kind of, I don't know if it's conditioning or just depth, they just fell apart. And if it's ECU and Boise State, I don't know. It'll be close because if Virginia Tech is good as they are, they're. Because here's my thinking. Virginia Tech's probably about as good as BYU at the moment, as of right now.
Really?
And Virginia Tech, they're going to lose some more games because I believe they play Florida State in the ACC. I don't know. Whatever. But I'm just saying, it'll be – the wins they have for each team will be very comparable. And so it's just gonna, it might come down to how bad you beat the other teams.
Yep.
So that's all we got. That's a bit – that's your early week three look ahead to January there, folks.
Kind of, sort of.
So that's always good. Hey, we passed the hour mark per usual. So check us out, MWCConnection.com. We'll have our preview up on Wednesday for week four. We'll discuss how many games there are because I don't know at the moment. You check out the your Chris's infograph project. Check out how people yell at me about not containing certain teams and what we learned. Cause I'm only going with like four items, but yeah, give us a look at MWCConnection.com. Twitter, Twitter update, Chris. How many Twitter followers do you have?
Oh, I don't know. I just got a new Twitter follower tonight. So.
Oh, awesome! Are you at four? Here's one thing. I did talk to Matt. He's under 100, so. You are at, right now, 387. You should tweet more pictures of you at UNLV games. That'll help you out.
Will it, or will it actually increase followers?
Good point. Tweet live football stuff. Maybe people like that. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got for tonight. Check us out again. Love the interaction. A lot of comments. A lot of Facebook. Hey, we were on Facebook as well. Check us out there. And do you have anything else to add about our success of people actually being on our site, not just lurking and reading?
No, keep it up. I mean, thank you for those of you who consistently read and comment. We've noticed a lot more commenters this year, especially during game day threads. Keep that up. A lot more comments, obviously, on Facebook, and we're getting a lot more shares. Just keep that up. Keep us getting traffic.
All right, yeah, remember, we're iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio. Check it out again. We'll be back on Wednesday for our preview show for Week 4 Mountain West Football. And everyone, and also hopefully we hear about Chucky Keaton sooner than later. It's not bad news. And everybody, hey, we're midway football almost, and so just enjoy every second of it.